Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Yud Aleph, and we have five lines from the bottom of daf Kuf Yud Amid Beis, the two dots. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo ben Tzara Aliza, Moshe Chaim ben Bela, Avram ben Gittel, Yitzchok Eliyahu ben Chaya Sara, Avram Kadesh ben Malka Bela, Avram Yekasil ben Gittel, Chana Gittel bas Brindel, Rafal Chaim Shar Yoshua ben Baba Chaya Rivka, Yehuda Leib Chizkiyo ben Basya, Chaim ben Yamam Mordechai ben Ida, Chizki Yishloim Ezizkin ben Nechama, Yosef Tzvi ben Chana Henela, Yerachmiel Tzvi Moshe ben Chana, Rav Chaim Doiv ben Krindel, Yael bas Bela, Shoshana Tova bas Esther, Michal Shoshana bas Tova Hadassa, and Chavez Sero bas Chana Freida. Today's daf is also being learned to Ilui Nishmas, Yechil Yosef ben Tzvi Betzalel, Shloime Zeb ben Avram Yitzchak, Mordechai Ziskin ben Meir Ochanan, and Baruch Tzvi ben Ephraim Zalman Halevi. So the topic of the last two dafin were Refuah B'Shabbos, and one of the things that the Mishnah said one is not allowed to drink on Shabbos is a kois Shel Ikarim. So there was a drink called a Koy Shel Ikarim that was used for refuah. And the Gemara on the bottom of Daf Kufyu and Amad Aleph said that there were two types of Koy Shel Ikarim and they were used for different reasons. One was used for a Zava that was having a difficult time becoming Tahar. So she would drink the Koy Shel Ikarim. It would allow her to stop bleeding so that ultimately she could become Tahar. The other usage of the Koy Shel Ikarin was for someone that was suffering from jaundice. So he too would drink the Kais Ikarin, and that was his refuah. The Gemara said that the exact recipe of this Kais Ikarin differed slightly if it was being used for a Zava or if it was being used for someone that was suffering from jaundice. Another thing that the Gemara said was that if a Zava drank the Kais Ikarin, being that they used wine as part of the recipe, it didn't affect her ability to have children moving forward. Meaning, even though it was called a Kais Ikarin, she did not become an Akara after drinking it. Someone that was suffering from jaundice, however, if he were to drink from this, this would impact his ability to have children. So the Gemara asked the obvious question, and that is, if somebody was suffering from jaundice and he drank the Kaisi Karin, it caused them to become an Akar. So the Gemara says, Umishari, is this Mutter Vatanya? We learned to the Brice, how do you know that a person is not allowed to castrate himself? How do you know that there's an Isser for a person to do something to himself surgically that will impact his ability to have children? Talmud Loimar, the Pasuk says, I'm reading the whole Pasuk, Uma'uch v'chasus v'nasuk v'karus loisakriv l'Hashem uba'artzachem loisasus. So the Pasuk's talking about different mumim that an animal could have that would disqualify the animal from being able to be brought as a carbon on the Mizbeach. And the Pasuk mentions a whole bunch of different mumim that relate to the Eiver HaTashmish of the animal. So if the testicles were ma'uch or kasus or nasuk or karus, these are all examples of mumim, and as a result, loisakrivu l'Hashem. And then the pasuk concludes and says, uva'artzechem loisasu. And we learn from uva'artzechem bochem loisasu, that just like these aforementioned things in the pasuk would be considered mumin for an animal, a person is not allowed to inflict himself with this kind of wound. Meaning, you're not allowed to do something to yourself that will disable you from being able to have children. Divrei Rav Chanina. So the bottom line is, how can you give someone that has yurakim these kaisi karin? Now, if it's bekoach nefesh, that's one thing. But we saw in the Gemara there were many other remedies that were available as well. So what's the heter to do this? There's a loisase in the Torah called uva'artzachem loisasu that states that a person is not allowed to put himself in a situation we won't be able to have children. So the Gemara says a chiddush. Hani mili heichad dekam mechavim. And the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara is that it's true there's an Isser for a person to be Mesaris himself, but that's only when he does something physical to the Eiver HaTashmish. If, however, a person does something to himself that indirectly will enable him from having children moving forward, that in and of itself won't be an issue. So if the issue was Sirus in the sense of the examples that the Pasuk gave, Ma'uch, Chasus, Nasuk, Charus, then you're right, Uva'artzechem Leisasu. But for a person to drink something where nothing happens to the Eiver, it just so happens to create something inside of him that doesn't allow him now to have children, in that case it won't be a problem. The Gemara says, I'll prove it to you. Amar Rabbi Yochanan said, Haroitza, she is Saris Tarnagol. If somebody wants to be Misaris, he wants to castrate a Tarnagol, he's allowed to. So what he should do is, Yitel Karbaltoi, Umisaris. Meaning, if you're going to be Misaris in the regular conventional way, you'll violate the Issa. Yisr uv'artzachem loisasu. But there is an indirect way to do it. What you should do is remove the comb, the crest that the rooster has on top of its head. That's going to cause it not to engage in with the hen, and as a result, it's going to be mistaris me'elos. You're not really being mistaris it, but indirectly, you're causing it to become a saris. So the Gemara says, what do you see from here? That to indirectly cause an animal to become a saris is mutter. So too, for a person, the same would be true, and that's why a person would be allowed to drink the koisi karin, because even though it would cause him now to become a saris, that's why it was called a koisi karin, but it's an indirect. And just like with the tarnagel, it's okay indirect. This is also indirect. But the Gemara says, how could you compare the what Rabbi Yochanan said about a tarnagel to a human being? Because the reason the tarnagel doesn't have children after you take away its karbalta is not because anything happened to it physically. This is not a medical condition. But what you're doing is you're taking away his gaiva. You're taking away his ability. He's embarrassed now and he doesn't mate, and as a result, he doesn't have children. You didn't do anything to it. You weren't mesaris it, not directly and not indirectly. But for a person to drink something that's going to cause him now not to be able to have children, l'chura, that should be a problem. And at the very least, you have no raya from Rabbi Yochanan that it's not a problem. So the Gemara says, you're right, it's a good kasha. How then could doctors have prescribed this medication for people suffering from jaundice if a side effect is umiyakir, he won't be able to have children? So the Gemara says, you have to say besaris. And Chanami, if someone was able to have children, he wasn't allowed to take this medication. But what if someone's already a saris? He anyways can't have children. Oh, someone's a saris, then it's not a problem. But the Gemara says, still an issue. Because from Rabbi Chiya Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chiya Rabbi said the name Rabbi Yochanan, how come everyone agrees? The mechametz achar mechametz shehu chayiv. The halach is that almost every single mincha wasn't allowed to have any chametz in it. The Torah says, lo seyofe chametz. The Torah says lo seyase chametz, and we learn from there that if somebody prepares a carbon mincha in a state where it's chametz, he violates isurim in the Torah. What happens if somebody would knead the dough of a mincha that has chametz? He would violate. What if he would bake it? He would violate. Meaning any step in the sidur de pas, in the preparation of making this mincha, would involve one of the isurim that states that a mincha is not allowed to be prepared as chametz. What if one person needs it and the other person bakes it? So we learn that a mechametz acher mechametz is chayiv. Not only that, another thing the Braisa says, b'mesaris acher mesaris hu chayiv, if somebody is already a saris and then he does something to himself to make him even more of a saris, so the halach is he's going to be chayiv. Shenema, we learn from the same pasuk. It says, u'ma'och v'chasus v'nasuk v'karus. As the Gemara, im al karus chayiv al Nasuk loikolshkin. A karus is a situation where the animal's testicles are cut, but Rashi says they're still tluyim bekis. They're still inside the sack. Einoi noiskon legamri. A nasuk is where it's completely removed. So the Gemara's kasha is, once you tell me that a karus is a mum, certainly a nasuk is a mum. So why did it say lahavi noisik achakarish uchayev, to tell me that if someone is a saris already because he's a nasuk and then he makes himself into a karus, he detaches it completely, that lachas he's giving chayev. So the point is one thing, that you see if someone's mesaris acha mesaris, he's chayev. So you can't tell me that who is allowed to take this medication for the jaundice, this is somebody that's already a saris, because even if he's a saris, he's not allowed to do something to himself to make him more of a saris. He's a mesaris acha mesaris. How come the mesaris acha mesaris? It's chayev. So the Gemara says, ela bezaki, in a different text. Maybe he's talking about somebody that's old. He's at a point where he can't have children anymore. Interesting. If someone's a saris, there's an isser to be mesaris acha mesaris. But if someone's not a saris, he's just old and memele can't have children, maybe over there would be no isser of uba'artzechem loisasu. So if someone's at a childbearing age, then the halacha is, even if he's a saris, mesaris acha mesaris is a problem. But if someone's old already where he's not having children, so at that point it won't be an issue. But the Gemara says, v'amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan said, hein, hein, hechsi, runa, lina, roisi. The Gemara is in Mesechtes Gittin Daf Ayin. The context is other refuos of Chazal. And the Gemara was talking about a very specific type of refuah, and Rabbi Yochanan says, I want you to know, I took this medication, and it allowed me to regain my youth. He was referring from a tashmish perspective. So what do you see from here? That even someone that's a zaken, there are ways for him to become younger, in the tashmish sense. So if that's the case, how could you tell me, oh, once he's old already, then he could be Masaris himself? Maybe there's a way for him to become young again, and if that's the case, this series should be an issue. So again, the Gemara is very troubled. The Gemara says, who's taking this medication? I don't understand. You're not allowed to be Masaris yourself. And you can't be Masaris yourself if you do it in a way where it affects the Aver. You can't be Masaris yourself even if it doesn't affect the Aver. You can't be Masaris yourself even if you're already a Saris, and a Zokin also can always become younger. So, fake the Gemara, who's taking this medication? So the Gemara says, Ela Be'isha, a woman. A woman doesn't have an Issa to be Masaris herself. Why? Because she doesn't have a mitzvah mitzvah puravu. The issa sirus is related to the mitzvah puravu. And being that an isha doesn't have a mitzvah puravu, so for her it won't be an isha. But the Gemara says, not everybody holds that a woman doesn't have an issa puravu. The Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika, the Amar al Shneim, who Oim Vay Baruch Hashem, Malikim Vayem Adam puravu, Hashem told Adam and Chava puravu, Belashin Rabin. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika learned from there that even a woman has a mitzvah puravu. So if that's the case, then there should be an iser to make herself into an akara, because if she makes herself into akara, she's being mevatel the mitzvah of puravu, even if it's not the iser sirus per se. But at the very least, she's being mevatel the mitzvah of puravu. So the Gemara says, ma'ikel meimar, and for the Gemara, biskena, we're talking about a woman that was already older, and from that standpoint, we don't have this medication that Rabbi Yochanan was referring to, that hein hechzirunu l'naroisi. So if a woman's already older at that point, there would be no iser, inami ba'akara, this is a woman that's anyways an akara, if she's anyways, an akara won't be a problem. What happened to Masaris Acha Masaris? You see, Masaris Acha Masaris, that's not an issue. It's an issue by a man, but Tosfos speaks out, you see clearly from the Gemara, that from the woman's perspective, it's not an issue. We're going to get back to this Gemara in the Reit Bait. Zok the Mishnah Vayter. Achoshish b'shino, if somebody's having problems with his teeth, lo yigabe ben asachoymetz, you're not let us swallow vinegar. So apparently vinegar was considered a refuah for someone that was having issue with his teeth on Shabbos. Rufu is aser. As a result, you can't do that. Avo metabolu kadarkoi. But what you're allowed to do is you're allowed to take bread, dip it into vinegar, eat it on Shabbos, v'im nisrapa. And if he has a rufu in nisrapa, he has a rufu. So what's the difference? You can't swallow the vinegar, but if you want to use the vinegar as a dip, it's okay. The reason is because nobody drinks vinegar. And as a result, if you're doing it, it's clearly a davar shel refuah. People, however, would use vinegar as a dip. You use it as part of a recipe. So being that you use it as part of a recipe, so if you're going to now take it on Shabbos, even though you're doing it with the intention of refuah, but being that it's not something that's used exclusively for refuah, it's not a problem. So the vinegar dip is like chicken soup, which even if you're eating it l'refuah, is mutter. To drink vinegar, that's like taking antibiotics. That's something that's also, because that's exclusively for a food. Mitchell continues, achoshesh b'masnav, if somebody has pain in his groin area, lo yasuch yayin v'chaymetz, you're not allowed to smear yourself with wine or vinegar. Avosach v'zashemen, but you are allowed to smear oil. Oil people would sometimes smear. So that's mutter. Yayin v'chaymetz, nobody did. As a result, that's clearly refuah. Additionally, v'loy shemen veretz, even though we said you're allowed to use oil, but you can use rose oil. So what exactly is rose oil? So this is oil that a rose was boiled in. And it was considered very chashe, very expensive. And as a result, most people didn't just smear their body with it. So if that, again, is clearly being done for refuah, if it's being done for refuah, it's going to be aser. Says the Mishnah, B'nei Melachim, Sochin Shem Medveret Al-Makoy Seher. B'nei Melachim are allowed to use Shem Medveret, Shekein Darkin Lasa Bechol, because they used to use it during the week. Why do people not use Shem Medveret? It's expensive. B'nei Melachim, they're princes, they're kings. So they used to, so for them, it's not nicker that it's l'refuah. It's something that they always do. It's the proverbial chicken soup. As a result, it would be mutter. Reb Shimon says, Kol Yisrael b'nei melachim hein. If a ben melech is allowed to smear himself with shemen vered, then says Reb Shimon, every yid is allowed to smear himself with shemen vered. You know why? Because every yid is a ben melech. We're all bonim l'Hashem alekechem. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is the melech malchei amlochem. So we all have a din of a ben melech. This shittas Reb Shimon is quoted many times in Shas. We'll get to it at some later date. But either way, again, a Mishnah that gets into some technical details with regards to some of the refuahs that were shchiach once upon a time, which are allowed to be used on Shabbos, which are not allowed to be used on Shabbos. What's the general rule? If it's something that's only used for refuah, it's aser. Gzeru mishum shchikas amemonim. If it's something that's not exclusively used for refuah, then even though your intention is refuah, the Chachamim never incorporated that in their takana, and in that case, it's going to be mutter. Zok de gemar. Rami le, Rav Acha Aricha, the Torah Rav Acha asked the Hu Rav Acha Bar Papa, who's also Rav Acha Bar Papa, Rav Acha asked Rav Acha the following question. Time we went to the Mishnah. Achoshish b'shinav le'igma ben esachoymetz. If somebody's tooth is hurting, he's not allowed to swallow vinegar. Says it. So you said lemeimer the chaymetz mali shenayim. It certainly sounds like vinegar is something that's good for someone that has a toothache. And clearly, the Mishnah says don't swallow vinegar. Why would you swallow vinegar? Because it's a refuah. So Rav Acha Richa asked Rav Avo. He says I don't understand. But ksiv, he asked from a pasuk. The pasuk says kachoymetz lashinayim. Mishle Perigyud, Uka Ashan Le'inayim, like vinegar to the teeth, and like smoke to the eyes, Kena Otzol L'Sholchav. So too is a lazy person to the person that hires him. But either way, you see, it's a bad thing, right? The lazy person is bad. So, Kechoymetz L'Shinayim, it sounds like Chaymetz is bad for Shinayim, and the Mishnah sounds like it's good for Shinayim. So the Gemara says like Kasha, you have to say, Habi Kiyua Depri, Habi Chala. There's two different types of Chaymetz. Chaymetz usually is translated as vinegar. But really, any time you have a wine byproduct that's not good wine, that too will sometimes be referred to by Chazal as chometz, as challah, as vinegar. So when the pasuk says kechometz l'shinayim, it actually wasn't referring to good old-fashioned vinegar, but rather what it was referring to was b'kiyua depri. If you have an unripened grape and you take wine from it, so it's not fully developed, that's what the pasuk means when it says kechometz l'shinayim. When the pasuk says, when the Mishnah says achoshish b'shinav le'yigam ben es achometz, which implies that chometz is good, it's a davar shel refua, that's talking about the regular traditional chometz, that was a good thing. Another teretzava b'challah, maybe they're both talking about regular traditional vinegar. One's talking about where he had a problem, one's talking about where he did have a problem, meaning ikamaka masi. If someone's tooth is hurting, so then it's good for him. But lekamaka, what if someone's tooth isn't hurting and then he eats vinegar, then markvi, then it's actually not good for him. So the Mishnah is talking about someone whose tooth is hurting, hachoshish b'shinav. So for him to take vinegar is a good thing. Whereas the pasuk that says kachoymes l'shinayim, so too is the ha'atzel l'shochav. That's talking about someone who doesn't have a toothache. Oh, you don't have a toothache, so then chometz is actually not a good thing. The Mishnah said, lo yigama b'mes hachoymes. So if someone is choshish b'shinav, he's not allowed to swallow the chometz, but if he wants to take his bread, dip it into the chometz and eat it, that's something he's allowed to do. Frank the Gemara, tiny relim to the b'raiso, lo yigamu poilet avo megalu b'leia. It says, you're not allowed to swallow and then spit out. You can't use it like a mouthwash. But if you want to swallow it, and swallow it, really, not just gargle it, but actually take it down, then it's mutter. So the Gemara asks, how does this show with the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, lo yigabe ben es hachometz. It doesn't get involved in spitting it out, gargling it, actually swallowing it. It's not putting it in your mouth. And here the Braisa says, no, it depends. Lo yigabe upoilet, abu megame upoilet, ubaileas, omer abayas. Abayas is very simple. Kitanat nami masiz megame upoilet. You can make an akim to the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says it's not okay, it means in the way that the Braisa said it's not okay. Meaning that Braisa was just being mefarish the Mishnah. It's not a stira. Very often Braisas explain the Mishnayas. The Braisa that says, lo yigamea upoilet, is the pirush on the Mishnah. Mishnah didn't get involved in poilet or boileya. That's what the Braisa is doing. But certainly it's not a contradiction. Rava said a different thing. Maybe the Mishnah is talking about swallowing it. Either Braisa says you're not allowed to. The Braisa says you're allowed to swallow. So how can the Mishnah say that it's not okay? Kan lifnei tibul, kan la'achar tibul. One is talking about before you eat, and the other one's talking about after you eat. Apparently, some people would swallow chometz before they ate, because it was considered to be good to open up your appetite. So before you eat, it's okay to be megameya ubaileya, even if you're doing it letzayach refuah. Because it's not nicker that you're doing it letzayach refuah. It's not exclusively refuah. It becomes like chicken soup, because there are people that do it. But after you eat, then nobody does it. So when the Mishnah says, lo yigameya ben es hachoymetz, you're right. It means lo yigameya upoilei lo yigameya ubeileya. Either Braisa says, megameya ubeileya. Oh, because the Braisa is talking about before the food. This is talking about after the food. Fake the Gemara, a lumdish question. So Rav is basically saying that if someone's tooth hurts and he wants to swallow vinegar on Shabbos, could he do it or could he not do it? It depends. Before the meal, after the meal. Before the meal, like by the Kiddush, yeah? But in the middle of the Suda, Noch the Suda, at that point, it's not going to be okay. Frank the Gemara can't be, because Vinemo, you know what we should say? Middle of Neitibul Shari, Lachatibul Nami Shari. Once Rava holds that it's mutter to take the vinegar before the meal, it should be mutter to take it after the meal as well. Deshamina le the Rava, this lay hoyle. Because Rava holds of hoyle. So the Gemara makes a wild sushtel. Gemara asks, what happened to hoyle? Amar Rava, what was hoyle? Lekamidi the Beshabbat, Shabbat Yom Kippur Asa. Rava said, there's no such thing as something being mutter on Shabbos and being Asr on Yom Kippur. Why? Because Hoyol the B'Shabbos Shari, B'Yom Kippur Nami Shari. Because if something's Mutter on Shabbos, it has to be Mutter on Yom Kippur. So there's a long Rashi that explains the context. The context of Rav's statement was in Masechtas Beah. It was talking about doing a Tfilas Mitzvah on Yom Kippur. So you could do a Tfilas Mitzvah on Shabbos. Rechitza B'Shabbos is problematic. But to do a Tfilas Mitzvah on Shabbos is much less problematic. What about on Yom Kippur? So Yom Kippur, there's a problem because v'nisim es nafsho seichem. Just like you can't eat on Yom Kippur, you can't do rechitza on Yom Kippur either. It's not just gzeiros merchitzos. It's way more complicated because there's an issur d'oraisa taking place. So Rav said a chiddush that you can do certain tefillos on Yom Kippur, even though you would have thought maybe not, because of hoyol. Hoyol, that you could do it on Shabbos, you could do it on Yom Kippur. So Frank the Gemara, if Rav holds of hoyol from Shabbos to Yom Kippur, he should hold of hoyol from the beginning of the meal to the end of the meal. If you could drink and swallow the vinegar at the beginning of the meal, you should be able to do it at the end of the meal as well. So the Gemara understands this is a steer in Rava. Here Rava holds of this major lumdish principle called hoyel, and here Rava is being mechalik between the beginning of the meal and the end of the meal with something as subtle as drinking vinegar because you have a toothache. They were dealing with rechitza on Shabbos and Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, Hodabei Rava mehach. You have to say that Rava was chayza. You're right. Even though Rava initially reconciled the seeming contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braisa, as saying one is fired the Suda, the other one's not the Suda, Rava must have been Chayser. Because at some point, Rava came up with this Chiddush called Hoyle, and you're right. Rava's Oikimta in our sugya is a contradiction to Hoyl. So once Rava came up with this novel idea called Hoyl, he had no choice but to be Chayzer. Says the Gemara, "Remind me, Hachadabe, Dilmei Hadabe." Right? The Gemara will often ask that. So you have a stira between two things that Rava said. So the Gemara says Hadabe Rava, which incidentally you find throughout Chas. We've commented on this in the past. Hadabe Rava, you rarely find Hadabe Abaya. Hadabe Rava is throughout Chas. So Rava's always being Chayzer. He had a Machshava Rishayin and a Machshava Shnia, something worth pondering. But either way. But whenever you're going to be forced to say that Rava was chayzer from one, you have to know which one he was chayzer from. Someone says, how do you know Rava was chayzer from the Oikimta in our Mishnah, but he maintained Hoyle? Maybe Rava liked his Oikimta in our Mishnah, and he was chayzer from Hoyle. So the Gemara says, Leisol Kedaitach, it can't be the time you're going to the Brayse, Kol Chai B'Tfilas Toivlin Kedark, Kemeh B'Tishavav, Be'em Yom Kippur. Oh, Tfilas Mitzvah, someone has an obligation to do Tfilah, he does Toivl on Yom Kippur. So you see, it's a Mefurish of Brayse, it's probably where Rava got it from, and it's not Mestabe that Rava would ever be chayzer from something that he said, especially if it's a Mefurish of Brayse. If Rava was chayzer from something, he was probably chayzer from his Oikimta in our Sugya. Moving along in the Gemara's discussion of the Mishnah said, "Hachoshesh b'masnav loy yisoich yayin v'chaymetz avosachues hashemen." So, if someone is having pain in his groin area, so you're not allowed to smear yourself with yayin and chaymetz, you can, however, with oil. However, not shemen ver, not rose oil, because rose oil was very expensive and nobody used it for anything other than refuah. So if you're doing it, it's nikkur that it's refuah. Stam oil, people sometimes smear on their body, but not shemen veret. The Bnei Melachim said the Mishnah, they were allowed to be sach with shemen veret. And then Rab Shimon said, oh, if a ben melech could do it, then every yid could do it. Rab Shimon is in Rab Shimon Ba'yichai. Every single yid is a ben melech. Amar Rab Abba Bar Zavda, Amar Rav. Halacha k'Rab Shimon. The halacha is like Rab Shimon, that every yid is treated like a ben melech. And as a result, he is allowed to smear himself with rose oil. And this next Gemara is a Pella. We're not going to have time to talk about it now, but it's something that we have to revisit before we finish the Masechta. And the Gemara says, so it comes out that Rav holds like Rav Shimon. Is that what you're saying? Okay, why Rav's not allowed to pass like Rav Shimon? Freak the Gemara Akasha. V'amir Rav Simi Bar Chia Mishmei the Rav. Hai Mesuchraya Dinazaisa. So a Mesuchraya Dinazaisa was a cloth, like a towel that was placed on a barrel of beer. So you have beer, it's attached to some sort of spigot. That's how you get the beer out of the barrel. And sometimes when you poured it, things would spill out. There were holes. So what they would do is they would take a shmata and they would plug the holes, the gaps inside the beer barrel. So like this, nothing would get lost. So Rav said that it's aser lahaduke b'yomatova, even on yontif, where you're allowed to do things l'tzayr chaychal nevesh, but you're not allowed to fasten it. You're not allowed to take the shmata and put it into the hole really nicely. Why? The reason is because he was worried about schita. He was worried that if you're going to make the shmata wet, you may just squeeze it, and as a result, something's going to come out, schita, which is a tolda melabin, etc., etc. What's the kasha? The kasha is a tzadav shein meschaven. Let's say you end up squeezing it. All you're doing is you're making it go in really, really tight. So making it go in really tight means that it's inevitable you're going to squeeze it? Well, why is that inevitable? And if it ends up getting squeezed, then it was a davar shein meschaven. It must be. Rav holds davar shein meschaven is aser. Now, who holds davar shein meschaven is aser? Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Shimon holds its mutter. It's afraid to give our kasha. How could, it's even hard to say the words. How could Rav Paskin, like Rav Shimon in our Mishnah, that Kol Yisrael b'nei melachin heim, as it relates to Achoshesh b'masnav, are you allowed to use Shemin Vered? You have a mefurish a Rav by Haimasukhraya din Azaisa, where Rav seems to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that Adava she'enem eschavin is asa. And for the Gemara, no, in that case, even Rav Shimon's going to hold its asa. Filo Rav Shimon moida, da abaya v'rav, adami chavai moida, Rav Shimon psikresha v'lo yomas. You have to say that Rav must have held that that was a psikresha. Oh, if it's a psikresha, so even Rav Shimon is moida, that's why it's asa. Meaning he doesn't hold like Rav Shimon by Adava she'enem eschavin, it's a psikresha. Fate the Gemara, Rav Chiba Rashi, Amar Rav, Halachik Rav Yehuda. Problems, Rav Chiba Rashi said already in the name of Rav, Halachik Rav Yehuda. Rav Chana Barami, Yom HaShmuel, Halachik Rav Shimon. Rav Chiba Rabin, Masa Lebele Gavin. Rav Chiba Rabin said this over without names. Meaning, Rav, Amar Halachik Rav Yehuda, V'Shmuel, Amar Halachik Rav Shimon. But regardless, Rav clearly paskined like Rav Yehuda. So if Rav paskin like Rav Yehuda, by Dovah she'enem eschavin, so freit the Gemara, how could Rav paskin like Rav Shimon, that Kol Yisrael, B'nei Malachim? Again, what's the kasha? The kash is obvious. What does one have to do with the other? This is a sugi about Shemin, Vered, Refuah, B'Shabbos, Kol B'nei Yisrael, Malachin, Heim. And this is a sugi about Dovah, Shein, Mischavin. How do we have a right to compare the sugi of Dovah, Shein, Mischavin to this halacha? These are two completely different halachas. What in the world does one have to do with the other? You know, earlier in the Masechta, on Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, so the Gemara seems to equate the machlokes of Shimon Rabbi Yehuda of Dovah Shein Mischavin with the machlokes of Shimon Rabbi Yehuda regarding Melacha Shein Etzricha Legufa. Right, the Gemara is a havamina that the two are totally zebezeh. If you hold of one, you have to hold of the other. There's another Gemara that we learned more recently. We didn't speak this out when we went through the Daf on Daf Kufei Amud Beis, where the Gemara at least entertained the tzad that if Rabbi Yehuda holds that Dovah Shein Mischavin is aser and Melacha Shein Etzricha Legufa is aser, Rabbi Yehuda should hold that a mekalkel b'Shabbos is chayiv. Whereas Rav Shimon that holds Dovah Shein Mischavin as Mutter, he would hold Mekalkel as Mutter. The Gemara seems to, throughout the Masechta, to be comparing different shittas Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon, which at first glance would seem to have nothing to do with each other. So we spoke out Torah in the past from Rav Yosef Shol Natanzin that maybe all the machloikuses between Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda and Masechta Shabbos are rooted in the Shaila of Meleches Machsheves, does it have to be Dumya the Meleches HaMishkan or not Dumya the Meleches HaMishkan? They come and come. We're not going to go back to that. But this Gemara takes it to another level. Here the Gemara had a stira that how could Rav hold that Kol Yisrael B'nai Melachamim like Rav Shimon? But here he doesn't hold like Rav Shimon by Dov Hashem Mischavin. Rav Shimon said a lot of things in Shas. Why can't Rav hold like one Rav Shimon and not hold like another Rav Shimon? Either way, this is a real kasha. And the Gemara says, Alam Rava. So Rava said, Aniva Risha Bechabura Targaminu. Umanu Rav Chiba Rabin. Me and Rav Chiba Rabin explained this. Halach Rav Shimon. You're right. Rav doesn't hold like Rav Shimon. He doesn't, because he doesn't hold like Rav Shimon by Dov Hashem Mischavin. So there's no way he took on Shitas Rav Shimon 100% in our Mishnah. So what then did he mean? He meant, Halach, I agree with the punchline of Reb Shimon, but I don't agree with his reason. So the Gemara explains, "My Alach Reb Shimon Lametame." Meaning, Reb Shimon said the reason he allowed to use Shemin Vered is because Bnei Melachim can, and if a Ben Melach can, then a regular Yid can as well. Because Kol Yisrael Bnei Melachim. So Rav is now going to come from another angle. What's the other angle? What would be another reason that it should be mutter to use Shemin Vered? Ilei Melach Reb Shimon the Shari Lametame. Ilei Reb Shimon Sava Masi. Rav Sava Masi. Maybe Rav holds its mutter because he holds it's not a refuah. Maybe he holds that oil doesn't work. But the Gemara said, "Sava Rav Le Masi." How could Rav say that? None of the Tanaim and the Mishnah seem to be of that opinion. And the fact that the Mishnah said Bnei Melachim are allowed to do it, Masi, you see it works. And Rav Shimon also holds it works. So what, Rav is arguing with the Metzius, with Rav Shimon and the Chachamim. So what did Rav mean? Meaning, if it's not Mutter for Rav Shimon's reason, what other reason can there be? Ela Loch Rav Shimon the Shari. V'lav mitame. Dile Rav Shimon Sover Avakav Tolo Shchiach. Sorry, Rav Shimon was taking the position that only kings and only the sons of kings used this Shemin Vered. However, Rav Shimon also took the position that Kol Yisrael B'nei Melachim Heim. Rav Savar, Rav held not like Rav Shimon. Meaning, he held Yishchiachin V'loy Yishchiach Loy. He says that if people that are not B'nei Melachim don't use Shemin Vered, you can't use Shemin Vered. And you can't come up with a Shtekel Torah Kol Yisrael B'nei Melachim Heim. So why then was Rav Matar it? If he doesn't hold like Rav Shimon, and he agrees with the fundamental principle, because U'ba'asri the Rav Shchiach Mishnah Devardo, where Rav lived, Sura, Masa Mechasya, maybe Tatlafush. I'm not sure exactly when this halacha was stated, but where Rav lived, it was Shchiach to Shemin Vered. And if Shemin Vered was Shchiach where Rav lived, so it's for that reason this was considered okay. Meaning Rav was saying the halacha of Rav Shimon that anyone's allowed to use Shemin Vered. But Rav Shimon came from the standpoint that really it's unusual, but a Ben Melech could, so anybody could. Rav was coming from a different angle. He held that, no, there's no such thing that we're all Bnei Melachim. He was just paskening for his kehila, and his kehila was mutter, because Ba'asri the Rav, Shchiach Mishnah, Mishcha Devarda, Hadron Halach, Shmoyne Shratzim, Zok the Mishnah Viter. So we're moving along with the Mishnah's depiction of the Lametes Melaches, and we're up to the Malacha of Kosher and Matar, two of the 39 Malachas. You're not allowed to tie a knot on Shabbos, and you're not allowed to untie a knot on Shabbos. Stating that, as we're about to see, not all knots were created equally. Zok the Mishnah. Eluk Sharim, Shechayov and Aleyem. The following are examples of knots that if one would tie on Shabbos, he'd be Chayev. He would violate Chol Shabbos, Midday Rice. He'd violate the Malacha of Kosher. Kesher Hagamolim. The Kesher that the people that rode camels used to tie. The Kesher Hasafonim. And the knot that sailors used to tie. We'll see what that means. Ukshem shu chayv al kishur and kachu chayv al ater. And just like someone's chayv if he makes the natzal to someone's chayv if he unties those natzal. Meir says kol kesher shu yochel atir ba'achs miyadav in chayav amalav. Any kesher, any knot that you can untie with one hand is not considered a kesher for which you're going to be chayv. So the Mishnah said ve'elu ksharim shechayav an aleim. And the Mishnah gave two examples: kesher hagamolim ve'kesher hasafon. It says my kesher hagamolim ve'kesher hasafon. What are these things? Ile v'katru dekatru bismama v'katru dekatru beisterida. The kesher hagamolim doesn't mean, so a camel had a muzzle in its nose, there would be a string that was attached to that muzzle. Is that the kesher hagamolim, the string, the rope that's attached to the muzzle? Maybe. And when we say kesher asafonim, that's some kesher that's tied to the ships. It's something that the sailors used to tie. Doesn't mean the one that's katri to the isterida. So you have a piece of metal that's attached to the ship, and then you, when you want to anchor the ship, you would tie a rope to it. So is it the rope that's attached to the anchor? It's the rope that's attached to the muzzle. Mar says it can't be because hay kesher shein shel kayamu. That's not a kesher shel kayamu. And as we're going to learn, the only time you chaya for kosher and matter is if it's a kesher shel kayamu. But if it's not shel kayamu, not those kesher and we're very flimsy. It wasn't a kesher shel kayama. So Gemara says, you have to say, elakitru dizmama gufe. When we say the kesher agamol, we mean the muzzle itself. What was the muzzle? The muzzle was metal that was tied together. These two pieces of metal that were tied together. Oh, that kesher was a kesher shel kayama. The muzzle was put in the camel in a way where it wasn't going anywhere. For isterida gufa, and the isterida, that's that metal that's attached to the ship, that was a kesher shel kayama. That's what the Mishnah is referring to. You're right. The rope that's attached to the muzzle is not the problem. It's the it's tying the muzzle, untying the muzzle. That's something you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. Remeir said, any kesher that you're able to untie using one hand is not a kesher for which you're going to be chayv. Bo, Rab Achdevoy, Achuy de Mar Acha. So Rab Achdevoy, who was Mar Acha's brother, he had the following question. Neither the Rab Meir or mine. What if somebody ties a bow on Shabbos, according to Rab Meir? Chayv or not chayv? What was the shaila? Rameir said that anything you can untie with one hand is not a problem. A bow, you pull one of the strings, that's you untie your shoes. Well, the Yisrael Rameir is that he was trying to make a point that if you're able to untie it so easily with one hand, that's a sign it's not a real kesher. Okay, v'hamahadik. And aniva is tied properly, even though you're right, there's a way to untie it with one hand. But at the end of the day, it's a proper bow. It's fine. So maybe you should be chayiv. Teku yesh l'cha ksharim she'in chayiv an aleihem. Kesher hagamol kesher asafonim. So the Mishnah said, ve'elu ksharim she'chayiv an aleihem. Kesher hagamolim v'kesher asafonim. Says the next Mishnah, there's certain ksharim that are not like the kesher hagamolim and the kesher asafonim. Meaning, these are knots that if you'd make them on Shabbos, ein chayovim. What does ein chayovim sound like? It's aser, pater aval aser, right? It's aser, but ein chayovim. You're going to be pater. We'll see in the Gemara. Kaysheres isha mafteach chiluka. A woman is allowed to tie her clothing, a specific beged that the Mishnah is referring to. But the point is, if she has some sort of beged where she would make bows on them to tie them, she's allowed to tie it on Shabbos. V'chutei svacha. So we had this in Perek Bamet Yisha Yoitza. So svacha was one of the hats that women used to wear. So if there were strings that they would tie together just to keep it on her head, you're allowed to tie those on Shabbos. V'shal piskaya. She's allowed to tie her girdle as well. Uritzua is minol v'sandal. And she, any person, not just a woman, is allowed to tie the straps of the shoes and the sandals. That's the topic of Daf Kufyud Beis. V'noides yayin v'shemen. Additionally, flasks of wine and oil, that's also something you're allowed to tie in Shabbos. Victerish al basar, and they would tie sometimes the top of a pot where there was meat inside, that's also something you're allowed to tie in Shabbos. So you're allowed to set up, if you want, like caution, do not enter, one of these ropes, so animals won't be able to go through, that, even though it involves a kesher, but that's a type of kesher that you're allowed to do on Shabbos. So going back to the beginning of the Mishnah. The first Mishnah said, ve'elu ksharim shechayavim aleihem, kesher hagamolim, v'kesher ha'safonim. Then the Mishnah said, Yeshach ksharim she'in chayavan aleihem, ki kesher agamol and kesher asafanim. And then the Mishnah gave a whole list of things that you're allowed to do l'chatchila. Freik the Gemara, hagufa kasha. Amr, yesh ksharim she'in chayavan aleihem, kesher agamol and kesher asafanim. So what does it sound like, the diak we spoke out when we learned the Mishnah? Chiyuva hu daleka. It sounds like there's no chiyav ha'yisura ikka, but it's going to be aser. V'hadatani, and then the Mishnah says, kesheres. Kesheres sounds like it's a chatchilo. Kesheres is a mafteach chaluka. Afilu lechatchilo. So which one is it? Is it pater aval asam? Is it asam midrabanan? Or is it mutal lechatchilo? It's not even asam midrabanan. Sok to Gemara. Hachi kamar. You have to say like this. There's different types. Yeish ksharim she'in chayavan aleim kekesha agamalim ukesha asafanim. There's an example of ksharim that are not like the first Mishnah. I mean, there's an example of ksharim that are not, you're not chayav for, but at the same time, it's going to be asam midrabanan. Umayin iyu. And what's an example? example of that, kitra de katri bizmama, the kitra de katri bit the isterida, tying the rope to the muzzle, but the Gemara had a havamina, maybe the first Mishnah man, tying the rope to the muzzle, or tying the rope to the metal that's attached to the ship, those things, chiyuvu deleka yisureka. Why is it asr? Because if you're not allowed to tie the muzzle, then the rope to the muzzle is too similar, at the very least it's going to be asr with the rabbanan. Then v'yesh emutar lechatchilo, and then there's examples of things that even mutar lechatchilo. Mayit, ninu, what the Mishnah said, kaysheres miftechei chiluka, just a drop more Gemara, mafteach chiluka pshita, it's pashit, that a woman should be allowed to tie her blouse or this beggar that she has. What would be the havamina? She's not allowed to. Obviously, she's going to take it off at some point. So it's not a kesher shel kayama. So if it's not a kesher shel kayama, what's the chiddush that it's mutter? So the Gemara says, loy tzrichat islay trei dashi. It's talking about where there were two bows, and really she only needs to untie one of them to take it off. Somehow the Tema would have thought, maybe one of them she's going to leave, she's only going to untie one. So therefore, maybe the other one, whichever that is, but maybe for the other one there would be a real chiyuv, kamash malan, that she can untie either one. V'chutei svacha, same kasha. So this is the little knot that she makes on the hat that she wears. Pshita, of course she's allowed to untie it. The Gemara says, leitzricha derevichala. It's talking about where it was loose. Ma'u detema, I would have thought, mishav shofala, she's able to take it off. She's able to, it's like a tie. You can take a tie off and just slip it over your head, even without completely untying it, right? So, a necktie. So you would have thought that maybe this is the same thing. She can take it off. She doesn't have to untie it if she wants to take it off. She wouldn't do it, because the svacha was embedded with her hair, and she's afraid that if she pulls it off, she may yank some hair out. It's not something she wants to do. So it's for that reason, it's considered something that was always untied. As a result, it's something that's mutter to untie lichatchila on Shabbos, exhale. So just two ha'aros as it relates to today's daf, specifically the beginning of the daf, in fact, the very, very beginning of the daf. So the beginning of the daf discussed somebody that's suffering from jaundice. And the Mishnah said that there was a special davar shel refuah that was administered. The problem is there was a side effect. And the side effect was that if a person took this refuah, it can cause him to not be able to have children. In fact, the refuah itself was called a kais shalikaran. And the Gemara asked the kasha, how are you allowed to do that if that's the case? So mishari v'tanya, we learned it, a braisa, minayin l'sirus ba'adam shu aser. How do you know that it's aser for a person to castrate himself, do something to himself that will cause him not to be able to have children? The pasuk says, in the context of different women that involve oisei makim of a behema, umma'uch v'chassos v'nasuk v'karus lo yisakrivu l'ashem, and we learn from those words, uva'artzechem loisasu, bachem loisasu. So bachem loisasu, this should be a problem. So the Gemara said that maybe the reason it's okay is because it's happening somewhat indirectly. I mean, this person is not physically doing something to his body to harm himself. Rather, he's drinking something, and then it's going to cause something chemical to happen in his body, and as a result, it's going to disable him from being able to have children. And the Gemara argued, at least in a havamina, that maybe that's okay. And the Gemara said, I'll prove to you that it's okay, because Rabbi Yochanan said that if somebody wants to be Mesaris his Tarnagol, what he should do is Yitel Karbalta. He should just take off the head, the top of the rooster. Mesaris Mielam, and that's going to cause him. So what do you see? What do you mean? I thought you're not allowed to be Mesaris an animal and a person. So why is that? Well, there must be, because it's indirect. Oh, so you see, if it's indirect, it's okay. But the Gemara was Doichit. The Gemara said, because Va'amir Rav Ashi, Ramus Rucha Hudin Akitala. The reason the animal, the rooster, stops having children when you remove the comb from the top of its head is not because something physical happened to it. Because if it was something physical, Rabbi Yechon would have never been matter it. Rabbi Yechon would have had a problem with it. But the reason is because what happens is the rooster gets very depressed when it doesn't have his karbalta on top of his head. Rashi is loshein. Hahu lav sirusu eluramus rucha nekita leilu tarnagol umishenital hoydoy. When he loses his shenkite, who misabel, he mourns it. The enoy mishamish, and it causes him not to be mishamish. Avu b'sirus afilu b'mei l'aser. As a result, you have no raya. We know there's a sugya that comes up very often in Shas, and that's the sugya of tsar balei chayim. It's also for a person to be mitzayer an animal. You're not allowed to be mitzayer an animal. And the machlek is in the Gemara, whether tzar balei chayim is the reisa, or tzar balei chayim is the rabbanan. It's something we've spoken about many times. We have several rabbis on this. But the im beis medrash beloy kama chidushim. The Ramah, In Evan Ha'ezer, Simen Hey, it's in Sifkot and Yodalit. Says as follows: Kol Dabar Atzarich L'Refua, anything that you do to an animal, Litzarich Refua, or L'Shar Dvarim, or for some other reason, Leis Pei Mishum Isr Tzar Balichayim. There's no issue of Tzar Balichayim. So, for example, if a doctor or researcher wants to do clinical trials on a guinea pig, on an animal, on a cat, that's something he's allowed to do. And the reason is because being that you're doing it letzayrich refuah or leizet tzayrich, says the Rama, les be mishum iser tzar balichayim. Says the Rama, v'lechein muta limrei noitzes mi avzo. You're allowed to pluck a feather out of an animal. V'lechem mishum tzar balichayim. Assuming you need this feather for a reason, there's a tzayrich for it, it's not going to be a problem. There's no iser tzar balichayim. Very big chiddush. Tzar balichayim is aser. According to a lot of rishonim, it's aser mita iraisa. But afal pikein, says the Rama, kol dover hatzorich l'refuah or l'shar dvarim, les be mishum iser tzar balichayim. The makar to this Rama is the Truma Sadesha. Says the Vilna Gaon in his Beir Agra, I have three rayas to the Rama or to the Trumas Hadashin's psak from Shas. Says the Beir Agra, I scanned Shas, I have three rayas. The first raya, says the Vilna Gaon, is the Gemara Masech to Shabbos. The Gemara that we just learned. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Haroitza She Yisar is Tarnigal. If somebody wants to castrate, quote unquote, a tarnagel, a rooster. Yitel karbaltoi, umistaris mi'elab. You take away his karbaltoi, and the Gemara thought first that this was something physical, and the Gemara said, it's not even something physical. But what happens? Zakrashi, mishenitel hoidoi, umisabel. Very dramatic. The rooster mourns the fact that he doesn't have his tchotchke on top of his head. The enay mishamish, and it causes him not to be mishamish. He's so depressed about it that it literally affects him to the point that he's not mishamish. Frank, the Vilna Gaon, again, Beir Agra is bekitzer. You have to understand what he means. But says the Vilna Gaon, this Gemara is right. What does he mean? He means because, what's the heter to do this? You're chappening with the animal. What gives you a right to cause the animal to go into a deep depression? He's misapel. What heter do you have? What happened to Tzar Balichayim? Why aren't we being sensitive to the feelings of this tarnagel? Said the Vilna Gaon, oh, must be. Said the Vilna Gaon, must be. This is a raya that there was a tzairich. And if there's a tzairich, there's no issa Tzar Balichayim. Because otherwise, I don't understand this Gemara. What was the context in which Rabbi Yochanan was matter this? Must be he was matter is a tzairich. So you see, if there's a tzairich, it's mutter, and if that's the case, says the Vilna Gaon, this is a raya. But the Gaon brings another raya, and that is from a Gemara, a classic Gemara, Masechtas Chagiga, Daf Yudal Rambam Beis. Now, Masechtas Chagiga, Daf Yudal, is one of the most famous dafin in Shas, because that's the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, that we spoke about not so long ago. But it's also the Gemara that talks about the Arba that were Nichnasu Lepardes, Ben Azai, Ben Zoyme, Acher, and Rabbi Akiva. They all entered the Pardes, and they were all affected other than Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was Nichnes B'Shalom, V'yatza B'Shalom. In fact, I saw recently, the Chasam Sofer says, I think, he says, why was Rabbi Akiva Yatza B'Shalom? Because he was Nichnes B'Shalom. He says, people sometimes, they go into Nisyonis, and some people, Nebuch, they get torn apart when they have a little bit of adversity, and then there were people that went through the Holocaust, and they stayed stark with their Amunah, and they built generations. Where does it come from? Where does a person have the strength to be able to go through a situation of an Nisoyon and to be Yatzah B'Shalom? So the Halakha Chasam Sofer said, this is the answer. Rabbi Akiva was Nichnas B'Shalom, and that's why he was Yatzah B'Shalom. It depends on how you go in. He went in B'Shalom, and that's how he was able to emerge B'Shalom. Beautiful. But either way, since in that context where the Gemara talks about Rabbi Akiva, Acher, Ben Azaya, Ben Zoyma, says the Gemara, Shalu is Ben Zoyma. They asked Ben Zoyma, Maul is Srusei Kalba. Are you allowed to be Masaris a dog? This was the question. Is it mutter to be Masaris a dog? Could you castrate a dog? Amalehem, so he told him. No, it says, Uba'artzachem loisasu, today's daf, and we learn from there, Kol Sheba'artzachem loisasu. Every single creature that's Ba'artzachem loisasu, there's an Isser to castrate. So these Shayalim were familiar with an Isser to castrate an animal. They were familiar with the Isser Sirus, Masaris Achem Masaris, but they weren't sure. What about a dog? Maybe a dog is different. Is it mutter a dog or is it not mutter a dog? So Rashi and Tosfos both struggle right here on the Amud. What was a shayla about a dog? Meaning, why would you have thought a dog should be? Why would you thought a dog should be any different? So Rashi says that maybe the shayla of a dog was because the context of that pasuk ba'artzachem loisasu is in Parshas Emor. So sometimes location matters. Even in psukim, even in gemaras. This is a pasuk not in Parshas Kiseitze, in Parshas Mishpatim we have random halachas, but this is in Parshas Emor. It's in the parsha of the karbonos. So why is this in the parsha of karbonos? So Rashi says the shayla came with a good chav. They thought that maybe the whole iser is related to the fact that if you're going to be misaris the animal, you're going to make it into a balmum. And if you're going to make it into a balmum, you won't be able to bring it as a carbon. So they thought a dog is anyways not kosher to be brought as a carbon. So maybe a dog is okay. Hence the question. Maul isrusei kalba. They wanted to know that maybe a dog would be fine. But Rashi says, I'm still not so comfortable. Because why didn't they ask about some other non-kosher animal? Why did they only ask about a dog? So Rashi says, because not only is a dog not allowed to be put on the mizbeach, but even a mechir kelev is not allowed to be put on the mizbeach. A mechir kelev is if somebody has a dog and then he swaps it for another animal, that animal also can't go on the mizbeach. So it comes out there's no animal in the world that's more rochoik from Kedusha, from being put on the Mizbeach than a Kelev. And if that's the case, that was the question. Being that it's not involved in being able to be put on the Mizbeach, and the Issa Sirus was in the context of Mizbeach, so maybe there's no Issa Sirus when it comes to a dog. So Shaul was Ben Zoyma, Maulis Rusei Kalba, and what did he tell them? Uba'artzachem loisasu, kol sheba'artzachem loisasu. Remir Simcha Meshach Chochma says a different shot. Maybe why the question was about a Kelev. He says, because the Gemara says in the Sechtes Bava Metzia, our Malta, Loisarbi kalba. An alman is not allowed to live with a dog. Because once upon a time, a dog was used for znus. It was used for mishkal. It was used for gili arayas. And so much so, the Gemara says, an alman, a woman that lives by herself, loisarbi kalba. She's not allowed to live with a caliph. In fact, Rameir Simcha says, that's the origin of the concept of mechir caliph. See, what would happen is people would sometimes do an avera, arayas, with a dog, and they would feel bad. So what they would do is they would take the dog, they would sell it, use the money to buy a carbon, and bring the carbon as a kapara to their pagan, to their avodah zarah. And that's kufu what the Torah says you're not allowed to do. Umechir kelev is aser, because we're not going to condone this. You want to get a kapara, you're going to have to find another way to get kapara. We're not going to take your mechir kelev after you did this avera and put it on the mizbech. But the bottom line is the kelev in the ancient world was a symbol of arayos. So he says, if that's the case, maybe that was the Havamina. Maulis Rusei Kalba. Here Chazal talks so much about the Kelev, how it's a bad thing, it's a dangerous thing. So there would have been a Havamina. Maybe to be Masarasit is a good thing. Adarabba, be Masarasit. Take away its ability to engage in arayas. Maybe that's actually a good thing. And that was the shayla of Maulis Rusei Kalba. But either way, this is the Gemara. They asked Ben Zayman, Maulis Rusei Kalba, says the Vilna Goyen, I don't understand the shayla. He says, I don't understand the shayla. Maulis Rusei Kalba. Maulis Rusei Kalba? What happened to Tsar Bali Chayim? So says the Vilna Goyen, oh, this is another raya. It must have been some sort of tzayach. Because otherwise, forget about it. You could be Masaris the dog. You can't be Masaris the dog. Forget about the Mechir Kelev. Forget about Rameir Simcha and everything else. It's Pashut, it's Aser. It's also because of Tsar Bala Chaim. So it says the Vilna Goy, Midam, Rina Bechagigo, Maulis Rusei Kalba, the Chulu. That's it. That's the raya, says the Vilna Goyin, that there's a heter Tsar Bala Chaim given certain circumstances. What's the circumstance in this case? To the extent that it's Tzorich Hafruah. So he says, I think I have a raya to the Trumas Hadeshen from this Gemara, because otherwise I don't understand Maulis Rusei Kalba. Why was there this question? Yes, serious, no serious. It should be awesome. It should be Tsar Bala Chaim. Oh, Elamai, must be. There are times where there's no Tsar Bala Chaim. If it's Tzorich Hafruah. There's a tshuva. In the Shailos HaTshuva is Chelkis Yaakov. This is a Chosha Mishpat, and it's in Simen Lamed Dalet. So who is the Chelkis Yaakov? The Chelkis Yaakov was a Mordechai Yaakov Breish, who was a Rav in Zurich, Switzerland, and he wrote a tshuva about Tsar Bali Chaim. The Mutal Ligrim Tsar Bali Chaim L'Toyeles Adam. The question was using animals for different clinical studies for medical purposes, and he sat down and he wrote a tshuva. It's interesting. The date of the tshuva is Yud Menachemov Tafresh Tzadik Tes. This is approximately, I didn't look it up, but approximately August 1939, which was literally weeks before World War II broke out. Menachemov, amazing. Tzirik Yud Menachemov, Tafresh Tzadik Tes. This is, talk about Farid Krieg, right before the war. This is when Rav Breish wrote the tshuva. Either way, so he wrote a long, beautiful tshuva, and Toich Dvarev in the tshuva, he quotes this Vilna Goyen, that the Vilna Goyen said that he has a raya from this Gemara Chagiga, Maulis Rusei Kalba, this is a raya that Tsar Bali Chaim is Mutal Tzorich Rafua. And he says, Aval Ani Ba'aniye Raya Zu Eineni Mevin. He says, I don't understand the raya that the Vilna Goyen brought. He says, why? He says, Echfashtenish. He says, I'm going to ask you a question. The Pasuk says, Uba'artzachem Loisasu, you're not allowed to be Masaris HaBehema. What do you need a Pasuk to tell me you're not allowed to be Masaris HaBehema? What happened to Tsar Bali Chaim? If Tsar Bali Chaim is Deiraisa, so why do I need a Pasuk for Kol Ba'artzachem Loisasu? Must be, said Rav Breish, it's Poshet, that there's a Nafkamina by virtue of the fact that we now have an Isser. It says kol sheba artzach b'lisas. It must be there's some sort of nafkamina. So what would the nafkamina be? So he throws out some suggestions. Maybe nafkamina would be malchus. Tzar bali chaim is an issa de raisa, but no one ever got malchus for tzar bali chaim. Uvartzach b'lisasu, and maybe it was a loisas there, a proper lav. Lav sheyesh by maisa. So based on that, you would get malchus. He says another nafkamina would be amira la'akum ayin shom. But either way, says Rav Reish, that it's poshet to me that there's a nafkamina over the by the virtue of the fact that there's a loisase called kol sheba artzachem loisasu over the regular universal halacha of tzar bali chayim. Tzar bali chayim means you can never cause tzar to an animal. Kol sheba artzachem loisasu is something very specific. You can't be mesaris the animal. Obviously, there's some nafkamina, because if not, the Torah wouldn't have said it. So says Rav Reish, so what did Vilna Gaon see in this Gemara? He says, Achvashtenish. The Gemara wanted to know Maulus Rusei Kalba. What was the Shiloh? The Shiloh was, is there an Issasirus by a Kelev? Lamainav Kamina? I don't know. Lamainav Kamina, the Torah wrote an Issasirus. If Tzar Bali Chaim is the Raisa, why is there an Issasirus? So whatever the Nafkamina is, that's what the Nafkamina is. If the Nafkamina is Amir Lakum, so you want to know, is there Amir Lakum by a Kelev? If you want to be Masaris, if the Nafkamina is Malchus, then that's the Nafkamina. If someone was Masaris a Kelev, is there going to be Malchus? So what's. What did the Vilna Gaon say? The Vilna Gaon knew there was an Isser called Kol Sheba Artzachem Leisasu. So the fact that the Chacham imposed the question, Malus Rusei Kalba, it was very simple question. The question was, does the Isser Sirus relate to a Caliph? That must have been the question. Does the Isser Sirus relate to a Caliph? And if the question was, does an Isser Sirus relate to a Caliph? If that was the question, then who said there's no Tzar Bali Chaim? Maybe there is Tzar Bali Chaim. And said Rav Reish a knetch more. The Vilna Gaon didn't bring a raya from the Issasirus. That wasn't his raya. He didn't say Kol Sheba Artzachem Leisasu. His raya was from this Gemara, Maulus Rusei Kalbo. He understood that just because there's an Issasirus doesn't mean there's no Issatzar Bali Chaim. There could be Issatzar Bali Chaim, and then there could be an Issasirus. There's nafkaminas about why the Torah maybe wrote the Issasirus. So that was the Shiloh, Maulus Rusei Kalbo. This was Rav Reish's question. He asks a lot of questions, but this was his question. So this is Choshem Mishpat Simen Lamed Dalet in the Chelkis Yaakov. The very next tshuva is Simen Lamed Hei. Now, Simen Lamed Hei was a response to the Chelkis Yaakov's tshuva, and it was written by another Goyen Olam in that same tkufa, Rabbi Chil Yaakov Weinberg. The Baal Sri Deyesh, he was a Rav in Berlin at the time, and he sent a Shaila to the Chelkis Yaakov. He said, I saw your tshuva about the Vilna Gaon and his raya to the Ramah from Maulus Rusei Kalba, and I saw your kasha, and he says like this. Koydim kol, roitzani liyashiv tmiyosef agdoilis al rabbeinu agodal agrozal. Asher kol dvarav emes, ukiilu nemra lemoshim ipi agvurav. This is the Baal Sri Deyesh talking. It says every word that the Vilna Gaon said is emes, and it's ukiilu nemra mipi agvurav. So he says, if that's the case, I have to answer the question. He says, to me it was pasha what the Vilna Gaon meant. You know what the Vilna Gaon meant? The Vilna Gaon was bothered with Rashi's kasha, Tosfos kasha, the Meshech Chochma's kasha. He couldn't understand, what was the shaila about Kelev? Why are we talking about a dog? Was Ben Zayma, Maldus Rusei Kalba. Why are we talking about a dog? So Rashi had to say such a doichik. Oh, because a dog's a non-kosher animal, and maybe the issa doesn't apply to a non-kosher animal. Okay, there are other non-kosher animals. Yeah, but a dog is so removed because a dog even have the mechir kelev can't go on the mizbech. It's like the most removed animal. Said the Baal Sri Deyesh, it's very dochuk, right? It's obvious. Said Reb Weinberg, he said maybe the Vilna Gaon understood the Gemara. Hey, you know why the Shaila was Maldus Rusei Kalba? Because that was a Maisa Shahaya Kachaya. Shalus Ben Zayma. See, we assume Shalus Ben Zayma means it was a Bach who raised his hand in the middle class. And he asked Ben Zayma, Rebbe, have a Shaila. Is there an Isser Sirus by a Kelev? He says, I don't think that's what happened. I think this was a real life story. I think this actually happened. Someone knocked on the Rav's door. Can I ask a Shaila? Absolutely. What's the Shaila? Could I be Masaris a dog? And you know what his answer was? And the Vilna Gaon said, I don't understand this Gemara. What, there was a Shaila? You had to go to Ben Zoyma, to the Gadol Adar, to ask him this question? Maulus Rusei Kalba, what happened to Tzar Bali Chaim? What, no one knew anything about Tzar Bali Chaim? The Shayalim, they were such Amei Oretz, they didn't know there's something called Tzar Bali Chaim. So said the Vilna Gaon, from the fact that they asked the question, from the fact that they knocked on the Rav's door, can I be Masaris the Caliph? Said Rabbi Chil Yaakov Weinberg, that's the Vilna Gaon's Raya. He understood there's something called an Issasirus. And from a pure academic perspective, the Gemara's question, Maulus Rusei Kalba, could just be, yeah, does the Issasirus does it relate to a dog? Does it not relate to a dog? He said, but I don't think that's what happened. He says, I think what happened is this was a shayla, and that would answer Rashi's kasha and Tosfos' kasha and everyone's kasha. Why are we talking about a dog? Because that's what the chevra that asked the question were trying to do. They weren't trying to be Masaris a rooster, they were trying to be Masaris a dog. That's what they were trying to do, and that's why they asked the question about a dog. But the point is, and that was the Goyen's hechrech. He said, because how could you ask such a shayla? Don't you know there's something called Tzar Bali Chaim? Oh, must be Tzar Bali Chaim's mutter sometimes, says the Goyen. This is one of my rayas. We could chalk this up as another raya to the Trumas Hadeshen, another raya to the Ramos Chiddush that Tzar Bali Chaim isn't always going to be Yasser. But there's a postscript to this whole shmuz. So the Ramah says, "Kol davar atzarich l'refuah ilashar dvarim lespe mishum iser tzar bali chayim." V'lechem muter to limroit noitzoyts me amzoyts chayoyts v'lekel meichshu tzar bali chayim. Says the Ramah, "Mikol makim." However, ha'olam nimnaim tahavi achzarius. Says the Ramah, the minhag ha'olam is not to just pull feathers out of animals. The minhag ha'olam is to be sensitive to animals. You know why? The havi achzarius, because it's achzarius, because it's not nice. You have to be sensitive to animals, and being that you have to be sensitive to animals, the minig is not to do this. Says the Vilna Gaon in the Bir Agro. What's the makar to the second part of the Rama? What's the makar to this? So the Gra brought three rayas, one from today's daf, and one from Chagiga Yudal Ramadez, and another one that we didn't get to. But the Gaon had three makaris to the first part of the Rama. What's the makar to this last line in the Rama? Says the Gaon, I am above a mitzia da pei hey amid aleph. Berebi Shenenesh al Ho'egel. What's he referring to? He's referring to a classic Gemara. The Gemara says that Rebbe, as in Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi, was a tremendous Baal Yisurim. And then one day he got a refuah. So Rebbe suffered terribly. And then suddenly, Shua Sashem Keherifayim, Rebbe had a refuah. Says the Gemara, what happened? So the Gemara says, Al Yidei Maisa Bo, his Yisurim came as a result of an event. And because of something else that happened, they went away. There was an eagle, there was a calf that was being led to Shechita. It was in the slaughterhouse, in the Schlachthaus, and they were taking it to Shechita. And this eagle saw Rebbe, and it went running to Rebbe, and it went underneath Rebbe's beged, the kabochi. And the eagle was crying. The eagle realized that it was literally being marched to his death and he didn't want to die. And he's crying to Rebbe. Amalei, so Rebbe turns to the eagle and says, Zil, go. Lokach noit sarta, this is what you were created for. You were created to be slaughtered. Amri. So they said in Shemayim, Hoyo v'loi kamerachem. Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi is not having Rachmanis on an animal. Leisa le Yisurim. He's going to get Yisurim. We're not going to have Rachmanis on him. And this is what happened. This was the impetus to Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi's Yisurim. By day Maisa Holchu, it went away. What was that? One day, Rebbe's Amma, his maidservant, she was sweeping the house. And on the floor, there were weasels. And the lady, she's sweeping the kakonchel, and she was going to sweep them up. Amalas, the Rebbe was there. He said, Shafkinu. He turns to the goit and he says, stop, don't take it. Have rachmanis, why would you kill these weasels? Amri, they said in Shemayim, Hoyulu merachim, oh, Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi, he's having rachmanis now on the weasels. Nerachim aleh, we're going to have rachmanis on him. Says the Vilna Gaon, that you see from this Gemara, that you have to be sensitive to the feelings of an animal. And even though it's true that there are times where there's no Issa Tzar Bali Chayim, but Mikol Mokim Ha'olam Nimnoim Da'havi Achzoris, says the Vilna Gaon, classic, you want to know the Makar Bava Mitzia Da'peheyam and Aleph, that you see over here that Rebbe's fate, he got Yisurim because he didn't have Rachmanis on an Egel, and then the Yisurim went away because he had Rachmanis on a weasel, that you see from here there's an idea. You know, the Velt says that what Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi do so wrong? He was right. Zil ki lakach notzarta. What did Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi do wrong? So the Bali Musa say that Rebbe was right. He was 100% right. But at the same time, if somebody comes to you crying, somebody comes to you begging, nebuch, suffering, and he needs a little bit of help, even if you're right, you're wrong. You have Rachmanis on the person. He says, the eagle was an eagle. You're right. It was an animal. An animal was crying. And he said, I don't want to die. I don't want to be led to my death. So Rebbe should have been sensitive. Zil lokach noitzarta. Not wrong. Rebbe was 100% right what he said intellectually. But if somebody comes into your house, he comes into your mechitzas and he's crying his guts out, how do you ignore him? How that's achzarius. That's what. But the Vilna Gaon learned a halacha from here, a general halacha. He said this is the makar to the second part of the Ramah. The rest of the story that's not often quoted in the Ramah in Eben Ezer Simin Hey Sif Katan Yod Dalet, that even though it's true letzayrich refuah and leizat tzayrich, it's okay for a person to violate tzar b'lechayim, but a mikom Makim at the same time, but still the minig is to be careful. It would seem a little bit from this Gemara, that there's an idea not only to be merachim on an animal, like an eagle, but there's also an idea to be merachim on a weasel. A weasel's a bug. Even on a bug? I mean, is it okay to just step on an ant? If there's a fly that's getting under your skin, can you just catch it, kill it, and move on with your day? Or is there an idea of a midas chasidus? Maybe not to. So from this Gemara, it would sound a little bit like, I mean, what was the thing that got Rebbe out of his Yisurim? He had, when was it that there was this declaration in Shemayim? Oh, I see, hoyulu merachim nerachim aleh. What led to this? What led to this was the fact that Rabbi Yudah Nasi had Rachmanos on a weasel. There's a tshuva from Rabbi Yaakov Emden in the Shelos Yaivetz. It's Simin Kuf Yud, where he discusses if there's an Isser Tsar Bali Chaim. Is there an Isser Tsar Bali Chaim with regards to Shkatzim and Ramasim and flies and bugs? He discusses it. Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, no. There's no Isser Tsar Bali Chaim. He said, no, it's this Gemara is all Derech Midas HaChasidos. But he says, there really is no Isser. But I'll tell you something interesting. And that is, I have a sefer. It's called Oyrois Eilim. It was written by Rebbe Eliezer Papa, the Mechaber of the Sefer Pele Yoyetz. And these are Ha'aris that he wrote, on Agadat the Gemara. So he wrote Ha'aris on Gemara, and then it turns to Zoyer, and Medrash, and Yalkut Shemayni, and a different Svarim. It's very interesting. It's Kederech Ha'Pele Yoyetz. It's very clear. It's very glad. It's very much Musardik. And he brings a Zoyer. The Zohar is in Parshas Yisrei, Daf Samech Chesamid Beis. I'll just read you one excerpt of the Zohar. Pam Achas Hayu Rabbi Loza Hoylich Baderech. Rabbi Loza was traveling. Rabbi Chizki Hoylich Imay. Rabbi Chizki was together with him. Ro Nachash Echad. They saw a Nachash, a snake. V'kam Rabbi Chizki Lahar. Rabbi Chizki got up. He wanted to kill it. Amalei Rabbi Loza. Rabbi Loza said, Azoy Vayisay V'al Targeu. Don't kill it. Shal Mimenu. He says, why shouldn't I kill the snake? V'alei Hudava Ra. It's a bad thing. Shahirik bnei Adam. Amalei Rabbi Loza, Rabbi Chizkiya. Rabbi Loza told Rabbi Chizkiya. He said it's true. He said it's true that there's an idea that a snake sometimes is dangerous, but the only time a snake has the ability to hurt anybody is if Hashem wants it to hurt someone. Meaning, it's only if it's acting as an agent of Hashem. So to the extent that that's only the case, if it's acting as an agent of Hashem, he said it's not something you should do, because everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, he created for a purpose. I'm paraphrasing. And the bottom line is, he told him, don't kill the snake. It was dangerous. He said, I don't care, don't. Says the Pele Yoyetz. This is his comment on desire. Mizeh yesh lomoyt. Ki loy toiv laharig achbarim v'yetushim ufaroshim. He says, it's not good to just go ahead and kill mice and bugs and flies. Kir b'tzayis Hashem d'arke yishkam oivav yash lomoytoy. Yash lomoytoy. He says, it's not a good thing to do. And then he says, not just that, he says, I'll tell you more than that. Because there's an idea to train yourself to have rachmanis, and a person should be merachim, and he should be merachim on everybody. And then they send you on the bottom, there's a Magia, sends you to something else that the Pele Yoyetz said. And this is in Masechtas Rosh Hashanah on the Gemara, Daf Yizayin Amid Aleph. The Gemara says, Amar Rav, a famous Gemara, Kolam Avram Lidoisov, Mavirin Lo Yal Kolp Shav. If someone does something to somebody else, Reuven hurts Shimon, and Shimon has every right in the world to be upset at Reuven. But he says, you know what, I'm going to ignore it. I'm going to let it slide. I'm going to make believe it never happened. Moichlin Lo Yal Kolp Shav, said the Pele Yoyetz, Mi Chacham V'Yovin Zois. The lu bekoyach yigbarish laver al pesha. He says, you know how hard it is for a person to wipe out an avera? He says, do you know what the tzaddikim of earlier generations used to do when they wanted to get rid of an avera? They would fast, they would make yichudim. There were things that they would do that are impossible for us to do. He says, not easy to get rid of averas. He says, here Chazal gave you an opportunity. The opportunity is to have rachmanis on other people. Be mavram, be doisav. And if you have rachmanis on other people, Hashem will be merachim on you. So it's true. Lahalocha. Rabbi Yaakov Emden Paskin, that there's no iser for a person to go and to chepa with a fly or with an ant or something of that nature. But at the same time, the Pele Yoyetz in a few different places talked about this idea, and he talked about it specifically in the context of achbarim and yatushim ufaroshim, that there is some virtue in going ahead and being sensitive even to these animals. Like the Gemara says with Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, that when did they realize that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, hoyulu mirachim nirachim Allah, this was on a weasel. So there is an idea, there is something. There's a concept, desire that the Pele Yoyetz quotes. But I just want to end with one unbelievable tshuva. Just short. One unbelievable tshuva. There's a tshuva from the Maria Sad. Rabbi Yehuda Asad. So we're jumping all over the place. We went from Switzerland to Berlin, and now we're in Hungary. So there's a tshuva from Rabbi Yehuda Asad, where the shayil was his son-in-law. And his son-in-law asked him the following question. He wanted to know Rabbi Aaron Bichler. So he asked him, is it okay to shecht an animal on Rosh Hashanah? Listen, this tshuva is unbelievable. Is it okay to shecht an animal on Rosh Hashanah? Is it okay to shecht an animal on Rosh Hashanah? So this is what the Edom said. He said like this. He said that the Magen Avraham in Hilchus Yontif, Siman Tov Tzadik Ches, says that it's not l'chatchila to shecht an animal on Yontif. Not l'chatchila to shecht an animal on Yontif. Why not? He said because we know sometimes you shecht an animal, the animal's a treifa. So even though you're allowed to shecht because it's a melech ha'sechel nefesh, but what happens if you're going to shecht an animal, you're going to find out it was a treifa? So better you don't shecht on Yontif. There's an idea never to shecht an animal on. So this is what the Edom of the Rabbi Yehuda Asad told the Shver. He said, as I was thinking, that being that there's an idea on Yontif never to shecht an animal, on Rosh Hashanah Yizichah shouldn't do it. He says, you know why? Because we know on Rosh Hashanah, during that Aseres Yemei Teshuvah, we're machmer on certain things that we're making on the whole year. Pas Akum is the classic example. So Pas Akum, Shulchan Aruch says you should be machmer on, even if you're makel during the year, but you should be machmer during the Aseres Yemei Teshuvah. So you see, there's an inyan to be machmer during Aseres Yemei Teshuvah. Rosh Hashanah, the first 2 days of the Aseres Yemei Teshuvah. So the Edom of Yehuda Asad told the Shver, so I was thinking maybe there's an idea not to shecht an animal, even though Rosh Hashanah is Yontiv, and any malach is mutal atzoy choychon nefesh, shchita zoy chon nefesh, but maybe it's not an idea to do it. Why not? Because being that it's during the Aseres Yemei Teshuvah, so based on that, maybe you shouldn't do it. So listen to what Yehuda Asad wrote back. Yafa harei soladas. He's saying, beautiful, my neidim. Gewaldig. I agree with everything that you said. But ani as daiti, b'shchita yesh lahasbar oytaima. I have another reason. He says, the kol shchita is beitzar balichayim. He says, every time you shecht an animal, you're being mitzayar an animal. Now, we shecht it in a way where it causes the least amount of pain. The Ramban says in Parashas Bereishis, why do you make a bracha? Shechit yishorim and tzayisim tzivadu ala shchita. Why does a shaykh make a bracha when he shechts chulin? What's the mitzvah? So Rambam holds it's a mitzvah. The Ramban holds it's not a mitzvah. He says, you know what the mitzvah is? Sar balichayim deraisa. The mitzvah is the fact that we're being sensitive when we kill the animal. It's sar balichayim deraisa. So it says, Rabbi Yehuda Asad, kol shchita is beit sar balichayim. Now the Torah says you're allowed to shecht an animal. Zil ki lokach neitzarta. So this is something you're allowed to do. But ubiyoy medadina on Rosh Hashanah. Shekulonu mevakshim rachimim kol ayoyim. What does a yid want on Rosh Hashanah? He wants Hashem to have rachmanus on him. V'rachmav al kol Massov Ksiv. Roi Gamlonu. See, you know how you're Ma'ir Rachamim when you act like a Rachamon. L'chaloi Lassi Shumach Zorius Befoyo Lishchoi Balechayev. It's unbelievable. He says, on Rosh Hashanah, you're going to cause an animal pain, even though it's mutter. Zil ki lokach noitzarta. But at the same time, it's Rosh Hashanah. You're trying to invoke as much rachamim as you possibly can. So you know what you need to do on Rosh Hashanah? Is be a merachim. Go out of your way. This is only do a pas akum. This is only do with a chumra. This is only do with a seres yimei tshuva. This is the yom adin. And the last thing a person wants to do on the yom adin is be ma'ir a kitrut. So said, Rabbi Yehuda Asad, zeichel ledavar, uvde de rebbe. He told the eagle zil ki lokach neitzarta. And you know what they said? You're right. But at the same time, you didn't have rachmanus. So you see that even when you give it a proper shechita, even when you give it a proper shechita, but there's still some lack of sensitivity. So said Rabbi Yehuda Asad, I think this is the reason. He writes, he wrote, he told us, after I wrote this, karasi l'shoichte demasa mumchen depay. He says, I called the shoichtem over here in our shtot. Mayreinu v'rabbeinu arav shmul weiss. Neiro yair. Zatzal. I asked him about this. I said, tell me, what did the Shaykhtim do? He didn't know. He said, what's the minig over here in Shtat? Do we shecht on Rosh Hashanah? And he told me, ki b'chol tfutzeis Yisrael ha-minig shloi lishchei b'yomtev shor Rosh Hashanah. He says, I've heard there's a minig in tfutzeis Yisrael k'dei shloi lahazik shum b'riya. Because you don't want to cause any damage to a b'riya. V'shekein kosov b'sefer gvul b'nyamin. And he says, if you want to see this in the Sefer Gvul Binyamin, the author of the Sefer Gvul Binyamin was the Mariv Vail. So this goes back already to the Mariv Vail. But either way, he says he realized that he was Mechavin v'nenesi shekiyamti misvara. But either way, this is the idea. Tzar Bali Chaim is Dairaisa. At the same time, L'tzorich Rafua, L'tzorich Ezadavar, it's okay. What about a weasel? What about a fly? What about an ant? What about a bug? What about a bee? Yeah, there's the halacha component, but then there's the Midas Chasidus component. And it's rare that the Midas Chasidus piece infiltrates the halacha. But in this case, the Ramah already quoted it. The Ramah quoted it, the Makar is like, like the Vilna Gaon said, it's this Gemara with Rebbe. Rebbe Yehuda Anasi wasn't sensitive enough to the eagle. Zilki lo kach neitzarta, and he was punished. On his madrega, he was punished for it. And then he came around with he had rachmanis on these weasels, and as a result, he had a refuah. So you see from here this idea and this punchline. Rebbe Yehuda Saad said that he heard this from the Shoichtim. He found it written by Rival. He was so happy that he was mechavin to it. That's why on Rosh Hashanah, even though it's Yontiv and you're allowed to do any malacha letzorich echal nefesh, but it's the Yom HaDin and everybody's trying, that we're davening for rachamim, we're davening avinu malkeinu, so we have to be extra sensitive to make sure that we don't cause any balchai, even an animal, any pain.